بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Most respected elders and friends, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In our previous discussion, we discussed dealing with non-Muslims. We discussed how Sharia recognizes the ownership of non-Muslims. And three examples were cited for that. The example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his Mubarak blessed wife, Hazrat Sarah radiallahu ta'ala anha, both of them were traveling and a tyrant ruler tried to abuse Hazrat Sarah radiallahu ta'ala anha. Finally, he gave Hazrat Hajra as a gift to Hazrat Sarah radiallahu ta'ala anha. So in that, Sharia recognized the ownership of the tyrant ruler. That is why Sarah radiallahu ta'ala accepted the gift and handed Hajra radiallahu ta'ala anha a gift to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Two more examples were given about Hazrat Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Today we will discuss three issues. The skin of animals. If an animal is slaughtered according to Sharia rites, that is, if that animal is slaughtered and before slaughtering Allah's name has been taken and 3 out of 4 veins of the animal have been severed, the animal is halal, it is permissible. What is the Sharia position of that skin? Second, if an animal is not slaughtered according to Sharia rites of Zabah, that is, before slaughtering Allah's name was not taken, or if Allah's name was taken, then 3 out of 4 veins of the animal were not severed, what is the position of that skin? Third, if an animal had died a natural death, the animal is a carrion, what is the position of that skin? Fourth, what should be done with the skin of Qurbani animals? During Qurbani times, animals are slaughtered. That skin, what is the Sharia position of that skin? And what should be done with that skin? And the fifth point on this, the concept of gelatin. When will gelatin be permissible? When it will not be permissible? And how do we determine whether gelatin or the proteins that are taken out from the skin of an animal, when will it be permissible, when will it not be permissible? That's the first topic we'll be discussing tonight. The second topic will be about the prohibition of a swine and the byproducts of a swine and the Sharia position of that. And the third topic we'll be talking about the concept of stratagems in Sharia. Hila as we know it. What is the Sharia position of that? We proceed with the first topic. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi states, Babu Juludil Maitati Qabla An Tudbah. The skin of a carrion. Carrion refers to an animal that died a natural death. The skin of such an animal before it could be tanned. On that, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi narrates an incident Where Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marra bishatim mayta. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened to pass by a dead sheep. An animal, a sheep that died a natural death. It was a carrion. So Sahaba left it. They thought that animal had died a natural death. It is haram to consume. And every aspect of that sheep is haram. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to a Sahaba, Hallastam ta'tum bi'ihabiha. Why did you benefit from the skin of that animal? So Sahaba mentioned to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna hamayta. This is a carrion, this animal died a natural death, and therefore the meat of the animal is haram. They thought even the skin is haram. So on that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected them and told to them, Innama haruma akluha. That eating the skin, eating the meat of the animal is haram, but as far as the skin is concerned, that is not necessarily haram, it is not necessarily impure. Now, if an animal dies a natural death, the skin of that animal will be impure. But that doesn't mean that you cannot benefit from the skin of such an animal. And with that, let us discuss the five issues that we have discussed in the beginning. First, if an animal is slaughtered according to Sharia rights, according to laws of Zabah, that animal is made halal, the skin of such an animal is also pure. And if somebody wants to take out the proteins from such an animal and benefit from that, it is even permissible to consume that. Second, if an animal has not been slaughtered according to Sharia rights, that animal has been impure, haram, so the skin of such an animal is impure. It will be regarded to be napak, is regarded to be najis. The third, if an animal died a natural death, and in the same category, if that animal has not been slaughtered according to Sharia rites of Zabah, the skin of such an animal is regarded to be impure. However, if the skin of that animal has been tanned, cleansed, purified, it goes through a purification process, now that skin will be regarded to be pure. And if somebody wants to sell that skin, the proceeds of that sale will be permissible. But if that skin of such an animal has not been purified, the skin was not tanned, the skin is impure, it is not permissible to sell such a skin, and the proceeds of such a sale also will not be permissible. Fourth issue is about the skin of qurbani animals. The skin of qurbani animals, the owner may use their skin himself. He may make a leather mat, or anything that is directly made from the skin, he may make use of it. Or he could give the skin as a gift to someone. Qurbani skins cannot be used to pay anybody for some services that have been provided. For example, if the slaughterer is there and you need to pay the slaughterer for the services that he provided, or the people that skin the animal, you give them the skin as a wages remuneration for the services that is provided during Qurbani time, you cannot use the skin to pay for that. That separately have to be paid. And Qurbani meat or Qurbani skin, if somebody happened to sell it, you cannot sell it. You could use it for yourself directly or give it to somebody as a gift. It is not permissible to sell that Qurbani skin. But should anybody sell that Qurbani skin, the proceeds of that Qurbani skin has to be given away in sadaqah and should be given away in charity. In other words, anyone that is a legitimate recipient of zakat will be entitled to such proceeds. The fifth issue is about gelatin, which is a very common topic. Nowadays, so many sweets, etc. have gelatin, and people have doubts on that. So what is the procedure of it? You get different type of gelatins, but we are talking about beef gelatin. An animal, if it's slaughtered according to Sharia rights, that's meat is halal, the skin of such an animal is pure, And the gelatin, or rather the protein that are taken out from within the hides of such an animal, the gelatin from that will be permissible, it will be halal. If an animal is not slaughtered according to Sharia rights, that skin is impure. And the protein or the gelatin that is extracted from such a skin, from such a hide, that will be impure. It will not be permissible. The only way to make it permissible, if a metamorphosis takes place. That is a complete change from one step form to another form, then only it will be permissible. Now, it is not possible to give a general ruling on all forms of gelatin. It all depends. If we are 100% sure that a certain sweet is certified to be halal, we know that it is coming from a certain place where the animal is slaughtered according to Sharia rights, and that particular factory has used gelatin from such hides that is slaughtered according to Sharia rights, then it will be permissible. But a general ruling cannot be given, especially if somebody claims that the gelatin, a metamorphosis has taken place. It all depends upon the manufacturing procedure of that particular gelatin. In some factories, the gelatin, there's just a restructure of the molecules. There's not a complete change in it. In certain places, there's a possibility that a complete metamorphosis and restructure takes place. So a general ruling cannot be given on the gelatin that are manufactured from the factories. So this is the first aspect of that today's topic. The second one, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says, Babu qatl al-khinzir wa qala Jabir harrama an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam bay' al-khinzir. The topic is about khinzir or swines. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about certain things that are haram in the Quran Kareem. Hurrimat alaykum al-maytatu wad-damu wa lahmu al-khinzir. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has prohibited maita, an animal that died a natural death. And blood, blood here refers to flowing blood, that's also haram. And the meat of a swine is haram. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala enumerates other things in this ayat of the Quran Kareem. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah speaks about a hadith wherein Jabir radiallahu ta'ala says that all Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared the sale of a khinzir, the sale of a swine to be haram. It is not permissible for a Muslim to deal in it and to sell it, the proceeds of that will be haram. Then Imam Bukhari rahmatullah quotes a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I take an oath in that being in whose hand my soul is, that is Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, لَيُوشِكَنَّ يَنْزِلَ فِيكُمْ إِبْنُ مَرْيَمْ. Soon, Ibn Maryam, referring to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, will descend upon you. It is our aqidah, the aqidah of the Muslims, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has been lifted up by Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam till now did not die a natural death. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala lifted it up towards himself, and before Qiyamah, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be sent back on earth. At the time when he was lifted up, he was a Nabi of Allah. But when he will come back, he will come in as a follower, as the ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when he would come back on earth, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam told, he will come in as hakama muqsita. He will be a just ruler. Second, fayaksiru salib. Christians, they worship Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Say he is Lord. He has been put onto the cross. He has been crucified. And they believe in the cross. It is one of the salient features of Christianity. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come and he will break the cross. Everything representing the cross is incorrect. It is wrong. And he will demonstrate that himself by breaking the cross. وَيَقْتُلُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. And he will kill swines. Killing swines means that he will not allow people to deal in swines. And this is something that Christians normally, they eat swine, they sell swine, and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will demonstrate that it is completely haram and prohibited to deal in that. Wayada'ul jizya. Jizya refers to, if in a Muslim country, they are non-Muslim citizens, in order to protect them for their safety and security, they will pay a certain amount of money, which is called jizya. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come and he will drop out the jizya. And that is because, during that time, there won't be any non-Muslims. all the Christians will become Muslim, because Isa alayhi salatu wasalam himself will say that I am the Christ that you people are talking about. I am the Messiah. I am Isa, and I am not Allah. The Christians themselves then will bring Iman and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So there won't be any question about non-Muslims paying jizya, and they themselves will become Muslims. And last, a time will come, at the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, people will be very rich and wealthy. وَيَفِيضُ الْمَالِ حَتَّى لَا يَقْبَلَهُ أَحَدٌ. That wealth will flow to such an extent that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will offer people wealth. Nobody will be prepared to accept wealth, because the last thing, or the thing that is most insignificant at that time, will be wealth. Everybody in the world will be wealthy at that time and point. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah refers to the prohibition of swine and dealing in swines. Two issues are important. One is that the swine is prohibited, likewise all byproducts of swine is also prohibited. Now sometimes you would get the byproducts of swine in cosmetics. And very often people ask questions on that. Now a swine is impure, and the, whatever ingredients of a swine is any product, that will also be impure. And cosmetics, there's no need for that, so therefore it is not permissible, and it is not jais. To stock that for a businessman is not permissible. To sell that is also not permissible. Yes, certain medication may have haram ingredients, not necessarily swine, but any other haram ingredient. Now, if there is a need for somebody to use that, no medication is effective on that individual, and the only medication that is effective is that which has haram ingredient, and it is prescribed by a doctor, they have exhausted all possible avenues of using halal adequate alternatives, nothing is effective. Under those circumstances, the general maxim of Shariat would apply, az-zururat tubihul mahzurat, where necessity relaxes prohibition. So and if somebody is talking those kind of medication that have haram ingredients, so we will not say that it is haram to sell it, because Shariat also permits in certain circumstances to use that. Third discussion, babun la yuzabu shahmul mayta wa la yuba'u wadakuhu. A little bit background on this topic. Fat was haram upon the Jews. It is permissible for the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Almighty Allah prohibited the Jews from eating fat, consuming fat. So what the Jews used to do, according to this narration, that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, or Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, that anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, qatallahu yahudan. May Almighty Allah destroy the Jews. Hurrimat alayhim ash-shuhum. Allah prohibited for upon them fat. So what they used to do? They applied a strategy. They knew fat is haram, so they adopted a strategy. Fajamaluha. They used to melt that fat. And then they used to use it. They should sell it, they should use it. And somebody used to ask them that, why are you doing that? It's haram. You know, fat, in the form of fat is haram. When it is melted, then it is not haram. So they used that strategy that changed it from one form to another form. From this we understand the concept of stratagems, where you defeat the purpose and the objective of the Sharia. See, there are three places in the Quran Kareem where Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala refers to strategies in the Quran. First, Allah refers to the Yahud. The nation of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, it was called the Sabbath, on a Saturday, it was prohibited for them to fish. Allah refers to it in the Quran Kareem, was'alhum anil qaryati allati kanat hadiratal bahr. The nation of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam were living in a coastal area. They were good at fishing. So Allah prohibited them to catch fish on a Saturday. So what they used to do? They made small ponds by the seaside. And in that pond, on Friday nights, they used to put their nets in those ponds. Saturday, the fish would get trapped. Sunday, they would pull it out. And they would say, look, we didn't fish on a Saturday. We just kept the nets there, and the fish got trapped. We pulled it out on a Sunday. Now you see, Almighty Allah condemns them for that. And this was the strategy they used to defeat the purpose of the Sharia. But on the other side, Allah also explained another incident. where Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam's wife, she took an oath. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam himself took an oath for some issue that he would punish his wife. He would give her 100 lashes. She gave service to Ayyub alayhi salam. When he recovered, now Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam had to fulfill that vow. But how can he punish that woman that gave him so much of service? So Allah told him, خُزْ بِيَدِكَ دِخْثًا فَضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَسْ. So you took an oath that you're going to punish your wife. You are the Nabi of Allah. It does not behove you to go against the oath that you have taken. But take a bundle of 100 sticks and just place it on her. So that was also another strategy. The ulama mentioned the difference between both the strategies is that if you use a strategy to defeat the aims and objectives of the Sharia, that is haram. But if you use a strategy to achieve the aims and the objectives of the Sharia, that is permissible. And it is Qurbani time. Almighty Allah refers to an incident in the Quran Kareem in Surah Al-Baqarah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. A sign of a sincere believer is, when Allah tells you to do something, submission, subjugation, you are an abd, the slave of Allah. You immediately carry out the orders of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that is the highlight of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Allah told him to submit. He said, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I submit to whatever Allah tells me to do. That is the spirit of a believer. Whenever anything is told to you, you immediately carry it out. You don't hesitate. You don't look for excuses not to carry out the order and the injunction of Allah. And to hesitate in carrying out the order of Allah Ta'ala, that is the attitude of the Yahud. Allah says in the Quran Kareem, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَصْفَهُ بَقَرًا. A murder took place at the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. They didn't know who the murderer was. So they came to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah Ta'ala what to do. So Allah Ta'ala told him, tell them to slaughter a cow. Now, it would have been simple for them to take a cow, cattle, and just slaughter it. And take the blood off it and place it on the dead person. The dead person would come alive and tell that who was the murderer. But instead of immediately carrying out the order of Allah, what they did? They started asking questions to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then, oh Musa, ma hiya? What that animal should be? How that animal should be? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told, la faridu wala bikr. One simple description, the animal mustn't be very old, the animal mustn't be young. Awanum bayna dharik. It must be between them two. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam advised them, fa'alu ma tu'mar. Whatever Allah told you to do, carry it out. Don't ask too many questions. Express submission and subjugation to Allah. But Jews were Jews. Second, they came again and they told to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, one thing we don't understand, O Musa, ma launuha. What should be the color? Any color they would have slaughtered. Black, white, any adkat, they would have been sufficient. But because they were acting difficult, Allah made it difficult upon them. Allah told, innaha baqaratun zafra. You need color. Get a yellow color cattle and slaughter it. And they had to search far and wide until they had to pay a dear price for that cattle which they had slaughtered. And furthermore also, after that too, they came to Abu Salih Sratu Osama, even told that, Mahia, what is that animal? Innal baqarata shabaha alayna. We're in total doubt. We don't know how to slaughter that animal. What we should do? Fathabahuha wa makadu yafalun. Allah says, finally they slaughtered it, but they almost not have fulfilled the order of Allah. That was the attitude of Jews. But look at what was the attitude of the Sahaba. When Qurbani time came, Bakri Eid time came, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba of slaughtering the animal, and the sacrifice was made by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma hadhi al-udahi? Ya Rasulullah, this Qurbani, this animal that we sacrifice, what is it? What's the reality behind it? What's the history behind it? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is a sunnah, it's a way of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he explained the background of that. Sahaba did not hesitate to ask Nabi Sa how the Jews did, how, what kind of animal it must be, what color it must be, the animal is doubtful upon us. They simply asked one question. Totally against what the way of Jews were. فَمَا لَنَا فِيهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Ya Rasulullah, if we slaughter an animal, what sawab will we get? Look at the difference between what the Yahud did and what the Sahaba did. And that is the attitude of a believer. Whenever we're told to do anything, we immediately carry out the order and the injunctions of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah make among the sincere servant believers of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It is also Qurbani time. It is also these are Mubarak days. We should turn to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and inculcate within us that quality of submission, taslim, subjugation to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah grant us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.